Verse 19. O how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence and from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed is the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. By the way, I like that verse 20. God kind of keeps you in a secret pavilion from the attacks of men and their tongues and their backbiting. Doesn't mean they don't backbite and attack you. It's just you're in a little secret pavilion. And I like to say those that are godly are in their own little world that God made for them to keep them safe. And it's a good place. Verse 22, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, ye, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plenteous rewardeth the proud doer. Be of courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Today I want to talk about being psalmish, being like the book of Psalms, and loving good things. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the chance to preach. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and people that come to church. Thank you for the local church, the pillar and ground of truth. And we just pray that you would help us now. We ask the Spirit of God just to move in this service and to help us to hear, help us to be conformed to the image of your Word. And Psalms is part of that, Father, and help us to become more like a Christian that lives the book of Psalms and understands it and encapsulates what the Psalms are stressing, Father. And help us to show that with our lives. Help us to learn tonight how to do that. Please speak to us and bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, O love the Lord, ye as saints. Verse 23. O love the Lord, all ye as saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plenteous reward of the proud doer. Love the Lord. That's what God tells us to do. And so love. So being psalmish includes loving. And tonight we're just going to talk about loving in the book of Psalms. Not exhaustively, but generally. And just some things the Bible teaches us about loving in the book of Psalms. Because if you want to be psalmish and be like the book of Psalms, you're going to find that they love in Psalms. And they have the love characteristic. And here he says, you Christians, you believers, you who you ought to love the Lord. And he is worthy of our love. And also there's some other things that we are to love besides just the Lord. But that's our first thing. What are we to love is, first of all, the Lord. The Lord. And there's many reasons to love the Lord. Of course, in the New Testament, it tells us we love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. You ought to love the Lord. If you've listened to the world and you've listened to secularism, you listen to backslidden Christians and bitter people, you'll sit there and say, oh, I don't have anything. My life's terrible and disastrous. But that's because you've been programmed to focus on what's wrong in your life, and you've not really seen the goodness of the Lord. The Bible says, forget not all of his benefits. Listen, if the only thing God ever did for you was send Jesus to die on the cross so you could live forever in heaven, you ought to love the Lord. I mean, that's enough right there. If you suffered the rest of your life until you're 70, lived a horrid, terrible, worst life in the entire world, and then in heaven, you received up into paradise forever because God gave his son for you and you didn't deserve heaven, you ought to love him just for that. He willingly gave his son for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hey, Lazarus suffered terribly on earth, but blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When he went up to paradise, he was pretty happy. And God sees his life as a short period of time. God sees it as a long eternity. And you ought to love the Lord. There's many reasons because he first loved us, but Psalms just gives us just a couple reasons. They're in different verses we'll read, but just one verse in Psalms 18. It says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation. So right here, he says, the Lord, I just love him because the Lord is my strength and he's the rock of my life and he is all those things. Another reason we can love him in Psalms is Psalms 116 and verse 1. Psalms 116 and verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Why does he love the Lord in Psalms 116, 1 and 2? Anybody? He heard my prayers. He listened to me. Isn't it amazing? Have you ever wanted to talk to somebody? Have you ever needed to talk to somebody, didn't have access to them? I had that today. I went to go visit somebody who was locked up. And because I didn't go through the right procedure, I wasn't able to visit them today. Went away. I had to drive up to Seattle to go there. And I love driving up to Seattle downtown in the middle of the day. It's a joy. And then to, especially as you get up on near James Street. That's always a great area there. And then I drove home because I didn't realize I had to have a certain set of permission to get in there. And you know what? I did that today, and I couldn't get the person I wanted to talk to. I one time, you know how goofy I am, I one day decided I want to call the White House and talk to President Obama. And so I looked on the internet, and I typed up White House phone number. I called the White House and answered, White House, I said, I need to talk to the president. And the guy just paused there for a second. He says, I don't think you can do that. And I said, well, how do I talk to the president if I want to talk to him? And he says, I don't know. I said, are you saying nobody's ever called you and asked to talk to the president? He said, nobody ever has. And so I said, well, tell him I called, I guess. But they didn't give me access to talk to the president. Can you believe that? How many think I'm crazy to do that? How many of you said, I should have thought of that idea? See, there you go. And I tried to call the president. I needed to talk to him about a subject that I think he needed to do a little better. And so that's me. Sometimes I'm not very timid. So I know I couldn't have walked in there and just talked to him and just knocked in the Oval Office, say, President, can I talk to you for a minute? But I tried to call him. But you know what? I didn't have access. They didn't put me through. Can you believe that? But you know what the amazing thing is? I can go and at any moment talk to the King of the Universe. And he hears every prayer I pray. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? We have the ability to hear, to have the God of the universe, and as Psalms 34, I believe, says, and his ears are open unto their cry. I love the Lord because he heard my prayer. He inclined his ear, and he listened to me. The first thing you're supposed to love is to love the Lord, and we see that here. The Bible tells us to do that in the book of Psalms. Second thing you're supposed to love is you're supposed to love the Lord's name. The Lord's name. And let me take you back to Psalms chapter 5. And we'll go forward from there. Psalm 5. And verse 11. But all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. And let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Those that love thy name. Psalm 69. And verse 36. The seed also of his servant shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. They that love God's name. And then one more is Psalm 119 and verse 30. Let's see. That's not the right verse. Psalms, let me see what I got written down here. I got the wrong verse written down. But you see, we're supposed to love. Let me check one more verse. See if I want to turn there. There we go, Psalms 119, 132. Psalms 119, 132. It says, look upon me and be merciful unto me as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. The Lord's name is very important. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It talks about God's name. And the Lord's name is very important to him. There's many names of the Lord in the Bible. The Bible says Jesus in Philippians 2 is a name which is above every name. And that's one of the Lord's names. Yeah, we see in Genesis the name Elohim used. Probably the most common in the Old Testament is the name Jehovah. And most often in Psalms, when it says the Lord, it's Jehovah. And in the context of those that love thy name, Jehovah. And the word Jehovah is a wonderful name of God. We think it's not normal because the Jehovah's Witnesses use it. They don't use it right. But the name Jehovah is a wonderful name of God, and it's a very personal name. And it means the self-existent one, or the one with no beginning. And he's also called I Am, and he's called many names in the Bible. But those that love his name, especially in this context, is a self-existent one, the one who had no beginning, the one who needs nothing and is omnipotent. And loving his name is what God likes. And he says you're supposed to love the name of the Lord. Especially, I think we shouldn't use his name as a cuss word. Amen. By the way, a Christian in a text shouldn't say OMG, by the way, just to let you know that. I just think that his name is holy, the Bible says. And we should love the Lord's name. And we should be careful with the Lord's name. And it says God, we're supposed to love his name. We're supposed to love him personally. And we're supposed to love his name. I've often told my kids, and I tell them and very many times, I says, the Byram name means something. You've got to keep this name as a good name. Don't ever ruin the name. I said, I've had that name. I said, I took that name from nowhere. And I said, the name Byram is a pretty good name. Don't you spoil it. And don't you ruin the Byron name. And you ought to have a name that means something. But the Lord's name is perfect. And boy, we should never bring reproach in the name of the Lord. We should love his name and keep it holy. Next, what are we supposed to love? We're supposed to love the Bible. In Psalms, it talks about loving many things. But one of the things it talks about the most is loving the Bible. And if you want to turn to Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the entire Bible is praising the Bible. It's 176 verses. It is a letter-by-letter praise of the entire scripture, starting with the A of the Hebrew alphabet and going to the Z of the Hebrew alphabet. And every letter it goes through, it's about 6 or 7 verses, and praises the scripture. And the longest chapter in the Bible is just saying how wonderful the Bible is. Psalms 119 and verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Can you imagine? Boy, people love gold. Gold is very precious right now. It's $1,600, $1,700 an ounce. Everywhere you see, we buy gold, we buy gold. There's a lot of desire for gold out there right now. But you know what? You ought to. If you could have if your Bible weighed gold, I don't know, it'd probably weigh 60 pounds, 50 pounds, I don't know, maybe more. I don't know exactly. It'd be worth hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars. But you know what? If you had a choice of a gold Bible or a Bible, you should take the Bible. You should love it above fine gold and above anything else in the entire world. He says, I love your word above fine gold. Verse 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Consider how I love thy precepts. Verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. They love the Bible. We get used to the Bible like we get used to many things. My cell phone is kind of a pain. How many ever got a cell phone, and after a little while you realize it was just a piece of junk? Ever done that before? I got one of those right now. My cell phone, it's got a really cool face. It's touchscreen, except for the touchscreen buttons. You got to go 10 times. And it was designed perfectly where I put my cheek against my cheek, and my cheek pushes the end button, and it hangs up on people all the time. It's designed perfectly for that. And so I pick up the phone and say, hello, click, and I hang up on them all the day. And that's my phone. And it's LED screen has started messing up and all kinds of things. And how many of you have hung up on you with my wonderful phone? And I've hung up on many of people. And at least I tell you that's what it is. And my phone, this phone has got all kinds of goofy things. It's not easy to use. And I really don't like my phone very much. But it makes phone calls. So I go down to the store to go. And I thought, my LED screen's missing up. I got a reason to take it back. And you know what? They didn't want to take it back. And they wanted to charge me a full price for phones. You know, they didn't have one phone in the store, even a flip phone, for under $215. They said, all of our phones, you got to pay full price. And then I started just griping about my phone. Not to them. I was like, this thing's a piece of junk. I have to keep this thing. And I really, after a while, I was getting to be a typical American grumbler, discontent. This is ridiculous. This isn't fair. This is unjust. What a piece of junk. And I caught myself. I said, you know what I'm doing everybody else does. Did you know, how many of you remember when cell phones first came out? Okay? When they first came out, they were big things with a cord in them that plugged into your lighter. And they were big, gigantic things. And you were talking those things, it was so loud in the background. They were terrible. And then they got a little bit better. And then they came out with the smaller cell phones. And I remember, you knew somebody's rich if they had a cell phone. They were rich. I remember in Bible college, we were poor Bible college students, and we would pull up to the guy with a very fancy car, and he'd have a cell phone in his ear. I don't know if they were talking, but they just wanted to show they had a cell phone because they were very expensive. You knew that guy was a rich guy if he had a cell phone. And we had this plug-into-your-lighter electric razor we'd use driving on the road because we were so busy. And we realized we turned it around, and it looked like we were talking on a cell phone. And so we'd act like a rich talking to people, pull up next to us, we'd have our little electric razor up to our mouth there. And they'd look and be surprised, why is he driving a junky car like that and have a cell phone? And then we first got the cell phones, and we were glad that they just didn't drop our calls every time we tried to talk to somebody. They always drop calls. Did you know this cell phone that I griped about 10 years ago, millionaires would have coveted this thing with the things it can do. I mean, it opens up. It's got a keyboard. It's got all kinds of things. It can surf the net, email, I don't know how to do it, but it does all those things. And it can take pictures and video. That little thing right there. Can you believe that? And it's a dumb phone, by the way. This isn't even one of your smartphones. And I started thinking, man, you know what? I got a pretty nice phone. You know why? Because we by nature humans, everything we get eventually we get discontent with and want something better, no matter how good it is. You know, it's amazing that Christians get used to the Bible. When I was first saved, and some of you grown up the Bible, but when I was first saved, I didn't know a thing about the Bible. I didn't know the Bible's shortest verse was Jesus wept. I didn't know John 3:16. I didn't know the book of Psalms from the book of Genesis. I didn't know. I remember somebody told me, there's the Old Testament, the New Testament. I thought, I don't think they should make new parts of the Bible. I'm not going to read the New Testament part. I only want the old stuff from back in the day. And that's how little I knew about the Bible. And I knew nothing about it. Then I started studying it. I remember just being jaw-dropping, just, this thing's amazing. It answers everything. Its prophecies are amazing. And many new Christians, when you get them in the Bible, they come back and say, do you know, this is incredible. I didn't realize what was in there. You know, we get used to it. I hope you don't ever just realize. Can you imagine if there was no Bible and God is up there in heaven and we had to form our best opinions of God? How crazy that would be. A lot of people do that anyway. Can you imagine if we had to rely on, the only way God spoke is he revealed himself to certain people, and you had to go to that person and decide, are they telling the truth or not? And sort through all of them. You know what? God just says, here's my word right here. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. I fell so in love with this Bible. Every night I stuffed my Bible. I just snug up to it and stuffed it every single night until I got married. Then I replaced it with a wife. And then I just keep it close. And boy, I wore out Bibles as a new Christian. I still wear out Bibles, praise God. Because I love the Bible. I hope you love the Bible. I hope it's your joy and you love it more than fine gold. You know what? If you don't, I can tell you why you don't. You don't spend a lot of time in it. Because if you spend a lot of time in it, you'll fall in love with it. You just will. He says, love the Bible. Love the Bible. That's one of the things you're supposed to love. And it's just such a blessing. And many, many people realize that. Another thing you're supposed to love is salvation. And let's go back to chapter 40, Psalms chapter 40. And verse 16, it said, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Love is salvation, and salvation is deliverance from many things, but the greatest thing God ever delivered you from is sin and hell and eternal destruction. The Bible says in Psalms we're supposed to love salvation. That's a lot of love there. You love the Lord, you love his name, you love the Bible, you love salvation. In other words, if we want to be psalmist, we're loving a lot of good things. These are all good things to love. We said first, what are we supposed to love? The Lord, the Lord's name, the Bible, and salvation. Secondly, God blesses those that love the right things. God blesses those that love the right things. Let's go to Psalms 122. Psalms 122. And verse 6, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. God's going to bless you and prosper you when you love him. And he'll do that. Psalms 122, verse 6. Psalms 145. Of course, when you love the Lord, he's going to prosper you and take care of you and bless you because he's worthy of that love. And verse 20 of Psalms 145. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but the wicked will he destroy. If you love the Lord's going to preserve you in a special way. God's going to work for you and take care of you in a special way if you love the Lord. And so there's special blessings in Psalms for those who love the Lord and for those who love the right thing. You want to have God take care of you? Just love him. Listen, any child who goes to the parents says, Mama and Dad, I just want you to know I love you. You don't think those parents are going to be happy with those kids and take care of those kids? You know, if I think of an employee walked at a boss and said, Boss, I don't want you to know I love you and you're the best boss in the world. You know who's getting a raise next? Who's going to be blessed? Those who show their love and express it. And God blesses those who love him and love the right things. So he said, first of all, we're supposed to love certain things. Secondly, God blesses those who love the right things. And thirdly, God's love makes your feelings change about some other things. God's love makes your feelings change about other things. And one verse with this is Psalms chapter 97. See, when you love the Lord, you hate some other things. I hate alcohol because I watch it destroy my family. My brother-in-law literally drank himself toxic and died when he was 39 maybe and left a widow and a little girl. My dad drank himself and left our home. My neighbor used to beat his wife all the time while he was drunk and ruined his whole family. I've seen what alcohol does and I hate alcohol. By wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, is what the Bible says. I hate alcohol. Why? Because I've seen what it does. And by the way, when you haven't seen what sin does, you don't hate it. I hate drugs. I hate a lot of things that are evil. You say, you're not supposed to hate. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible said about Jesus, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Why wouldn't I hate something that's going to ruin a life or send somebody to hell or destroy somebody? Why wouldn't God hate something that put his son on the cross? Bible says, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Abhor means to despise utterly. And when you really love certain things, listen, somebody who's seen their family killed in a war probably hates war. Okay? We learn to hate things when we love other things. And so we see that some disease comes in and kills somebody that you love. You may not love that disease. You might hate it. And when you love the Lord, you begin to hate certain things. It changed your attitude toward them. And the Bible says in verse 10 of Psalms 97, ye that love the Lord hate evil. The Lord preserveth the soul of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. You know, one of the things I can tell of how spiritual somebody is, and it's very biblical and it's very common, is how they talk about their sin. Because when somebody really gets right with God and really falls in love with Jesus, they realize what that sin does to him. It puts him on the cross. It hurts the Lord. The Bible says it grieved the Lord this heart that he had made man when he saw that their thoughts were only evil continually. You see what it does to lives. And if you joke about sin, adultery is not funny. Murder is not funny. Drunkenness is not funny. Gossip is not funny. And when you like to brag and make a joke, the Bible says that fools make a mock at sin. But when you really love Jesus, you don't think sin's cute or funny anymore. It says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Listen, God is not like that. God hates that. And that upsets the Lord and it hurts the Lord. And it put Jesus on the cross. It is not funny. And so the Bible says that when you really love the Lord and really love with a psalmist type of love, you begin to hate some things. By the way, I hate things that separate me from God and my relationship with him. I hate things that ruin a family. I hate things that hurt souls. And I want all of us to love the Lord and love people so much that we hate the things that destroy people and hurt the Lord. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. In other words, if you're a psalmist, you love the Lord so much, you hate some things that are bad. And you despise those things. And you don't glorify those things. And you don't watch shows that glorify those things. You don't listen to music that glorifies those things. You love the Lord too much. And so when we love the Lord and there's psalmists, we love him, we love his word, we love his name, and we fall in love and we have a lot of love for good things, and we also quit loving bad things. And when you do that, you become psalmist. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your word that teaches us what to love and what not to love. Thank you. You bless those who love like they should love. And Lord, our love's very powerful. As you told us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Lord, I pray we'd love the right things, and I pray we'd love you above all in your name and your word. Lord, help us to love good things. Help us, Lord, just be blessed because we're the people who have a love. And boy, the passion of that love towards your word, more than my daily necessities, more than fine gold. Oh, how I love thy law as my meditation all the day. Lord, help us to fall in love with good things. Thank you for the attentiveness tonight, Lord. And I pray we just love you because you've been our strength, because you hear our prayers. I pray we'd love your word. Just bless, Lord, this message. And I pray that we'd become more psalmish from this lesson. In Jesus' name, just briefly.